Hallelujah. I want to talk this morning about having hope, and I would have never guessed on this weekend that we'd have needed to hear about hope in such a poignant way, or such a real way this morning. And so we're going to talk about the power of hope, and our anchor verse is going to be Romans chapter 15. We're in a series right now called Faith, Hope, and Love, and next week we'll be talking about love, but today we're going to talk about faith, hope this morning. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Read it with me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? Trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray this morning from listening to your word that there'll be an overflow of hope in this house today. And Lord, we need to have greater hope in you. So, Lord, I pray this morning as we read your word, Lord God, the hope in our life is going to increase. We pray it in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word, on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. If there is any more room on the air conditioner to turn it down a little bit, or I mean, get a little cooler in here. I see a lot of people fanning themselves. Do that. All right. Cut that out of my sermon, though. All right. There's a set of notes that you received already. In case you need a set of notes, just lift your hand long enough to get them. I had a friend from Nigeria here in our first two services, a pastor friend of mine from Nigeria, and he came to Harvest Church about a year ago with his family. Now he started a church in Nigeria, and they started out with about 20 people. Now they're up to around 250 people after 6 months. But he said, Pastor Perry, he says, I never used notes until I heard you preach with them. And he says, and they help our people so much to remember what was said on Sunday. Otherwise, we'd forget it. And so he's using notes now on Sunday. And he says, I also use the PowerPoint and all of that, too. And he says, my people are saying, what? Where'd you get all these ideas from? He says, well, I have a good friend of mine, a pastor friend in California, and I'm trying to borrow everything I can. But you know what? That's all good because I borrowed everything I've got, too. Can I get a witness? Amen? So, I want to talk this morning about hope. By the way, Barbara showed me a Facebook post this morning from a friend of mine, actually. It's a pastor in town, but I won't tell you his name. He's a real close friend of mine, but if you wanted to know his name, I would tell you after service, but it's only because he already put it out on Facebook. But he had a car accident, and he ended up wrecking his car. He had a brand new, nice, kind of a new Buick, and he ended up running it into something, I don't know what it was, but he put on his post, he goes, man, I'm never going to talk on the phone and text again. I'm not going to do that again. Now, you'll go like, everyone goes, oh, but the truth is, everyone that of us that have driven, almost every one of us have been distracted by a phone or whatever at some time. So I'm glad his car was completely totaled out. The front of it is all the way up to the windshield, just totally wiped it out. But fortunately, he wasn't hurt and nobody was hurt as well. I've even been out driving myself, and like one time I was going to see some person at their home, and it was after a loss or whatever it was. I was driving over to someone's house, and I'd never been there before. I was going around a bend, and I was looking at my phone, and all of a sudden I looked up, and there was a parked car coming right at me. Boom! Just like, and I mean, I turned right out of the way just in the nick of time, where I'd have run smack right into that because I was so good that I can multitask when I drive. No. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're good, but you're not that good. So the only reason I shared that this morning was maybe to save a couple of lives, all right? Can I get a witness? Amen? So in other words, put your phone aside when you're driving, all right? Don't be distracted. All right. I don't know why I shared that this morning, but it might have saved some lives right out of this service. Amen? Amen. Might have saved you a bunch of grief, too. So, all right, the big three in the automotive industry is GM, Ford, and Chrysler. That's the big three, although that's changed now. It's probably VW, Toyota, and GM, or Nissan, or whoever I just read was Nissan. Renault, actually, is in the top three now. But I want to just say the big three in Christianity will never change. It's faith, hope, and love. Say it with me this morning, faith, hope, and love. And we're talking about that on these three Sundays. Next Sunday, I'll be talking about love. So we all talk a lot about faith and hope, faith and love, but we don't talk a lot about hope. So I want to do that this morning. Hope is what we all need, especially in times that we live in right now. We need hope now more than ever. In fact, without hope, we'd be hopeless. Say it with me this morning, without hope, we'd be hopeless. So what is hope? Well, hope, by definition, is this. It's an expectation or belief in the fulfillment of something that's desired. It has to do with trust, reliance, or confidence. Now, faith and hope are almost just like twins. They're like kissing cousins, if you will. Like, what is the difference between the two of them? Well, really, hope kind of begins with faith. So it's believing. Hope is believing that what you've already seen through the eyes of faith will come to pass. Sometimes you've got faith for something. You got the faith. God showed you what could be, but then you hold on to hope until you see it come to pass. So they're very closely related. And all God's people said amen. The scriptures really have so much to say about hope. And I'm going to take you down hope lane in the scriptures. I didn't list all of these out in your outline today, but I listed all of the references, all right? But as we read these scriptures here this morning, I believe that faith is going to elevate in your heart and you're going to have more hope, all right? So let's talk about hope. Hope helps us to be strong and to take heart. Say with me this morning, be strong, take heart. In fact, the Bible says, be strong and take heart, all of you who what? Who hope in the Lord. How many know that when you know the Lord is with you, you're going to be stronger and you're going to have more heart? Can I get a witness? Amen. Just knowing that God is with you. How many know that when you know the Lord is with you, it makes all of the difference in the world? Amen. When I was a little kid, about 10 years old, I lived in North Dakota. So I lived with my family in North Dakota as a preacher's kid for 14 years. And that's why I live in California today, because it's California's my reward, all right? God said, you did 14 years in North Dakota, you get to live anywhere you want to live. And I was so glad to be in California. But especially in January, when it's 40 below in North Dakota, all right? Now, when I was in North Dakota, there was a bully in our school, and he was a little muscle-bound, little short guy, but man, he was strong. He looked like he was one of those Golden Gloves boxers. And he was just a muscular little guy, but he was mean too, and he was a bully. He had yellow eyes. You know, it was like Scott Farkas on that Christmas movie. He had yellow eyes, you know what I mean? And he would come at me, and other people too, but he kind of picked me out because I was a preacher's kid from a Pentecostal church, you know? They always knew what we did in church on Sunday. We, you know, ran down the aisles, we jumped over pews, and we sang, and we hung from chandeliers every Sunday. They knew that that's what we did in our church. I wish that would have happened, because that would have made everything more exciting. Can I get a witness, amen? But still. But one day, he was waiting for me as I was at the downtown swimming pool in our town. Our town was Candu, North Dakota. You can do better in Candu. And we had a little municipal swimming pool that everybody in town went to. It was the only swimming pool in town, and our kids would hang out there in the afternoons. I got to the end of the day, and I saw that he was waiting outside of the pool for me. So I go, like, I waited until it was ready to close, like at 5 in the afternoon. And then I started going outside, and I was real hesitant to go outside. But there was this big man in our town, and he worked at the elevator, and he was one of these big muscular guys. He was real tall, probably 6'4" or whatever, or he probably just seemed like it to me, but he was a big, strong guy, and he worked at the elevator. He had three sons that we would play softball with in their backyard. A very poor family in our town, as far as didn't make any money at all, lived in a little two-story house with his family, but it was a very basic house. Back then, you could have bought the house for around maybe $5,000 or $10,000, seriously. It was just an old house in town. But, man, he was a good man with his sons, and we'd play together. They were poor, but they were tough guys, all of them were. But anyway, he was there that day, and he kind of sized up what happened. And this guy stood pretty tall, and he'd always wear the Oshkosh overalls, you know, overalls, sometimes without a T-shirt. And he'd have the Oshkosh, and then he'd have the little thing before they hang the hammer on, that little loop thing going on. And he came up to me at the swimming pool, and he saw what was happening, because the kid had come up to me, and he said, you come across the street right now, I'm going to take you on. So he walked up to me after I was done. He saw that what was going on, and he says, Perry, he said, I want you to go and beat that kid up, and I've got your back. I'm going to back you up. You don't have anything to worry about. Well, all of a sudden, I got confidence, and I started walking across the street like this, you know, and like, honestly, the only reason I had any confidence was because I knew that the big man was backing me up. He was watching, and I knew that I was going to be okay. So I walked right across the street, started slugging him in the face, beating him until he fell back on his back, and I was on top of him and slugging away, just like the movie. The only reason I didn't stop hitting him is because I knew if I did, he was going to get me bad. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I was done. And anyway, he got a bloody nose and everything. They had to eventually just pull me off of him. I never had any trouble with him at all the rest of my life. Never had any trouble with him at all. But the only reason why I beat him was because I had the big man. That big man was my bodyguard. He was at my back. And let me tell you what, when you go up against the enemy, you're going to be strong and take heart, not because you're on your own, but because God is with you. Can I get a witness? Amen. How many know that? Say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How many know that God will always make you better than you really are? Amen. Stronger than you really are. Hope reminds us that the Lord hears us. Aren't you glad that God hears us? In fact, the Bible says, for in you, O Lord, I hope, you will hear, O Lord, my God. Aren't you glad that God isn't a distant God, but he actually hears us? The God that created the universe hears us. And then, hope lifts us up when we're downcast. Have you ever been downcast? In fact, the psalmist said this, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet will I praise him, my Savior and my God. And he said, I'm going to praise you yet. Even in the middle of all of this stuff that's causing me downcast, I'm going to praise God because my hope is in him. Can I get a witness here this morning? And then God's word gives us hope. How many of you glad for God's word? You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. How many times have you ever read your Bible and all of a sudden you had hope again? Amen. You felt hopeless, but because of God's word, you are now hopeful. And then hope brings gladness. Say with me, gladness. How many know that we could use a little bit more gladness in our lives? Amen. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. But when you've got hope, you're going to be glad. Now, every summer, some of you, or many of you, plan a vacation, but how many of you know that when you plan a vacation, the week before the vacation, the week before you're going away, you feel just a little bit happier about everything, amen? How many know that your children, when they know they're going to go to Disneyland, man, they're feeling better that week ahead already, amen? And hope will always give you, will make you glad when you know that something good is getting ready to happen. Now, the Bible says that when we're without hope, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So the Bible says it this way, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Man, I'll tell you what, when you have a desire in your life, God will give you those, but when that thing is just put off, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And then the Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord gives us hope. Say with me this morning, the steadfast love of the Lord gives us hope. In fact, I love what I believe it was Solomon said in Lamentations, but this I recall, and therefore I have hope. Well, what did he recall? He said this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When you recall that God's faithfulness is great, every morning he'll give you hope. Say with me this morning, new mercies. How many glad that when we get up every day, God's going to give you a brand new set of mercies? And I'll tell you what, you might have been the one that blew it yesterday. You got, God, man, I just blew it yesterday. I just fell on my face. How many know that God saw it all anyway? And he says in the morning, he says, I'm giving you a brand new morning, brand new mercies today. How many know that even when you fall down, when your own children fall down, you don't say quit walking, you say keep on walking. And God says the same thing to us. He says, even though you fell, I'm going to help you up. We're going to walk, and you're going to be stronger than you've ever been. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, we have hope because the Lord is with us. Say with me, the Lord is with us. He's not distant. He's with us. In fact, King David said this, and Peter was referring to it in Acts chapter 2, but he says this, David said this, I see that the Lord is always with me. Say it with me this morning. The Lord is always with me, and I'm not going to be shaken, for he is right beside me. Therefore, my heart is going to be glad. How many know, how many glad that God is always with you? He'll never leave you or forsake you. And even when the time comes to die, we still have hope. I love those commercials that they had this morning on the announcements. They talked about the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and 80s. They said the cool 50s and the cooler 60s. How many know that the older you get, the colder you get? Can I get away? I mean, like every progression, and for when you start getting older, they put on adjectives just to make you feel better, as if we're not smart. We get this. You know what I'm saying? The cool, the clear, you know, this anyway. All a 60-year-old is a 30-year-old trapped in a 60-year-old body. That's all he is. And we have no idea how it happened, except we lived long enough to see it. But we're just as cool as the rest of you. Can I get a witness? Amen. I still got my MacBook. I still know how to open up an app. I already know. I still know all this digital stuff. I know Facebook, and I know Instagram, and I know all this stuff going on. And I'm still just as bored as you. Can I get a witness? Amen. But we got all this down. It's just that, how many of you are 30 in this room? 30-something? How did you get to be 30-something? You used to be 20-something. That happened pretty fast, right? And boom, 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 four times, and you're already up to where I'm at. It just goes like that. Can I get a witness, amen? Just boom, 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 just like that. But we represent cool. We invented cool. Everything that is cool now has been recycled. We invented it all. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. Now, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope when our life is over, because the Bible says this, we have hope that the world doesn't have. So we don't have to sorrow, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So finally here this morning, our hope is in the Lord. Say with me this morning, our hope is in the Lord. In fact, the psalmist put it this way, and I love it. Just rich language here. The Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in him. Say with me this morning, the Lord is my portion, therefore I hope in him. How many of you know you don't need this, that, or the other thing? It'll never, these material things won't make you ultimately happy. But when you say the Lord is my portion, you're going to have hope in him. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. Now, hope is such an encouraging word, and hope encourages us to do at least four things, all right? And I'm going to give them to you this morning, then we're going to go home. We're going to walk out of this place with greater hope. First of all, hope encourages us to hold fast. Say it with me this morning, hold fast. In fact, say it again, say it real loud, hold fast. And the Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God says this, I don't want you to waver. I want you to hold fast to that confession of hope that you have in the Lord. Now, bad things happen. This is a certainty. But when they happen to us, what gets us through the tough times? It's the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know that God's delivered you in the past. How many know that God's delivered you in the past, right? How many know that God's going to deliver you in the present? And how many know that God's going to deliver you in the future? In fact, the Apostle Paul says this, God has delivered us in the past from such deadly peril. He's going to deliver us here in the present. And on him we have set our what? Our hope that he will deliver us again. We don't serve a God who's just in the present. God, we serve a God who's been in the past, who is in the present, and who will be in the future. And he's going to deliver us every time. That's why we put our hope in him. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Secondly, not only hold fast, but look up. Say with me this morning, look up. Now, you've heard that old adage, keep on looking up, but it's true. Sometimes we can get our eyes on the people and the problems and our circumstances when God says, I want you to keep your eyes on me. Keep on looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So, what did the Bible say about this? He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order to know the hope that you've been called to. We've got hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I want the eyes of your heart to be open to see it, all right, to be enlightened. Say with me, the eyes of your heart. How many believe it's important to keep your eyes on Jesus and that'll give you hope? Can I get a witness here this morning, amen? Now, back in the day, before most of you were born, there was a very famous swimmer named Florence Chadwick, and she was from San Diego, California. And Florence Chadwick was the first, before there ever was a Michael Phelps with all of the gold medals, Florence Chadwick had broken through some things that were thought to be impossible in swimming. Back in 1952, first of all, she swam, not 1952, but she swam the English Channel between England and France. She swam it both ways and set a record both ways in the English Channel. Then she swam from Catalina Island to Long Beach, California, 26 miles. She gave that a go because they said that would be impossible. But she swam that, not in the first try. The first time that she tried to do that, by the way, I can't hardly swim the length of a pool without getting tired. How about you? But she swam 25 miles the first time. She tried to swim from Catalina Island all the way to Long Beach, California. The waters were shark-infested. They were cold. The water was choppy, and then a deep fog set in. She kept on swimming and swimming and swimming, and her coach said, "Don't give up, Florence. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. No, don't give up." But she got exhausted because she couldn't see the shoreline, and she gave up, only to find out that she was only 1 mile away from the shore. 1 mile away. And Florence said this, "If I could have only seen the shore, I would have made it." She got her eyes off the shore. She couldn't see it. She said, "I'd have made it if I could have seen the shore, but I couldn't see the shore." Sometimes we're caught up in the fog of life and the difficulty of life, and we can't see Jesus anymore. We're looking at our people and problems and all this stuff, and we get our eyes off of Jesus. But if we get our eyes back on Jesus, we're going to make it all the way to the other side. Can I get a witness? Amen? So Florence, 2 months later, this was July 4th, she tried to do it in 1952, before most of you were born. She tried it again 2 months later, and she made it all of the way. Same conditions, bad water, shark infested, and the fog rolled in again. But this time she said, "I got a picture of the shore in my mind. I kept an image or a picture of the shore in my mind, and I swam it, and I swam it all of the way." I want to just say again, when you're in the thick of the fog, when you're just going like, "Man, I feel like I'm hopeless right now," keep your eyes on Jesus, because he will be the author and the finisher of your faith. Can I get a witness? Amen? And then number three, press through. Say with me this morning, press through. Press through, it means just don't give up. The Bible, you know, sometimes Jesus doesn't deliver us from our circumstances. He delivers us through our circumstances. I'm looking at a bunch of people here this morning that you've been through some things in your life. And I'll tell you what, now that you're through them, you wouldn't have traded the bad, the tough times, because it made you stronger. But man, it was no fun going through it. But the Bible says this, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Are you kidding me? For we know that they help us develop endurance. Say with me this morning, endurance. Every time you go through a tough situation, you're going to come out of it tougher as well. When you go through it, can I get a witness? Amen? It makes you stronger. And endurance develops strength of character. You're a better person because you've gone through some tough things. And character develops hope. How does character develop hope? Because you can say, "You know what? I've been through that. You're going to get through it too. There is hope for you as well as there is hope for me." Amen? It develops hope. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Watch this. When you go through life and you're feeling like, "Man, I feel like I'm down on hope right now," you can know that a God who loves you will always be there for you. Can I get a witness right now? So even when you're suffering, you can have hope. And rather than saying, "What is happening? Why is this happening?" Instead of saying, "Why is this happening?" you say, "No, what is God doing in me right now in the name of Jesus?" And that's going to give you hope to hold on. Thank you, Lord God. And then finally this morning, we have hope in Christ. Say with me this morning, hope in Christ. Hope is an anchor in our lives, and it holds us, that holds firm and secure. Now, I want you to write this down in your notes because I didn't even give you a place, but say this. Hope is an anchor for our souls, all right? It's an anchor for our souls. In fact, the Bible says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I've been on a ship before, and I've been fortunate to be able to go on a cruise. Have you ever been on a cruise before? That's just the coolest thing. If you try to get on a cruise before you go to heaven, can I get a witness? Amen. Just, you'll like it. It's even better than people say, and they all say it's good. And but anyway, when they drop the anchor on that ship, when it's out in bay, when they drop that heavy iron anchor down, that ship that can carry 8,000 people isn't going anywhere because it's held by an anchor. In other words, the anchor holds. And that anchor will hold a large vessel like that with 8,000 people on it. But let me tell you what, in Christian circles, our anchor is Jesus Christ. And in the middle of the storms of life, that anchor holds each and every time. As long as you are holding by hope onto Jesus Christ, you're not going anywhere because he's going to hold you. Give the Lord a great applause of praise. Would you do that here this morning? And one of the greatest reasons why we can hope is because Jesus is coming soon. Can I get a witness here this morning? In fact, the Bible says this, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. One day, Jesus is coming soon. We're going to be reunited with him, with our friends and our loved ones. We're going to receive a reward. There's a brand new heaven and a brand new earth coming. We're going to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Man, I'll tell you what, this world might be a short run, but we are going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. And that's the great hope we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. So what do we do now? We hold fast to hope. Say with me this morning, hold fast to hope. Amen. In fact, the Bible says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Say with me, I'm not going to waver. Why? Because God is faithful. I've got hope in Christ today. The world might be rocking, but I'm staying steady because I serve a faithful God. I'm not going to waver because God is with me. Can I get a witness here this morning? So let's kind of end where we began this morning and read it with me and let it just speak to your heart. But I'm going to just give this as a blessing over you too. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? As you trust in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone that receives the word of God today, give the Lord a great hand clap of praise.